USA. I'm Sara Gonzalez in for Maria Hinojosa. When you look at the numbers of people, tens of thousands, coming to the U.S. from Central America, the personal stories get buried. Part of what's driving the recent influx of children and families is gang violence. But just to say gang violence doesn't really convey the severity of conditions in Central America. One family from Guatemala says intimidation and threats were constant. They're now asking for refugee status. Reporter Brooke Binkowski went to visit them in San Diego.
Juan is 15 years old. He's from Nuevo Progreso, a small mountain town in Guatemala.
Queríamos ellos que nosotros entráramos a su grupo.
There was a gang that wanted him to join, he says. They recruit young men to sell and smuggle drugs. Juan says he refused because he's a devout Christian and doesn't believe in violence.
Porque ya tantas amenazas y ya nos molestaban mucho seguido cuando.
That's when a gang member started to harass him, punching and kicking him. They threatened to kill Juan, his brother, and the rest of the family. That's when they all decided to leave their town. His parents, three brothers and sister, decided to travel to the United States together. They say they didn't know where else to go, and a relative lives in North Carolina. They ran into bad luck from the start. Their father was beaten by gangs. They were robbed on La Bestia, which is the train that migrants take through Mexico. Their passports were taken. They finally made it to Tijuana and turned themselves into border authorities asking for asylum in the United States. There, they were separated.
Por igual que ella salió primero. Entonces, y como llevabas dos hijos,
that's Silvia, Juan's 20-year-old sister. She didn't know where to find her family because they were processed separately by border authorities. They had no phones or money. So Silvia slept in the street, in front of a 24-hour bail bonds office next to the international border, searching and waiting for them. She waited for 8 days until she found a way to use a phone and found some of her family.
People gave her food. She didn't have any blankets. She just sat in the doorway watching the people coming out of immigration, hoping her family would come out.
That's Lawrence, a San Diego businessman who offered his home to this family. He doesn't want to use his full name because he says the issue is politicized and housing refugees might cost him his job. Lawrence says after watching what happened in nearby Murrieta, when protesters waving American flags forced buses filled with undocumented children to find another city to stay in, he knew he had to do something.
I want my three boys to know that if I die tomorrow, they know they have to do what's right. They know what they have to do is correct, no matter what the popular opinion is, no matter what could happen, and that they have to be able to see these people, as humans. And so it was important for me to humanize them.
San Diego border activist Enrique Morones helped Silvia and Juan find this place to stay. He also found the whole family lawyers and counselors. He says the United States has a moral obligation to help the people fleeing their home countries.
These are children that are coming from different parts of Latin America that are escaping the violence. And for us, it's very important that we treat them with love because the society is judged on how we treat our children, and that's why we're here.
Morones says this is a Rosa Parks moment for the immigration reform movement. And he says the experiences Juan and Silvia's family had embody the entire crisis at the border.
So you have the issue of escaping the violence of Guatemala, getting on top of the train, La Bestia, seeing people pushed off and forced off and all of that, getting the smuggler abandons them in Mexico City, doesn't take them all the way to the border. They have to find their way to the Tijuana border. They turn themselves in to the authorities. The family gets separated.
The family doesn't know what's going to happen next. Juan says all they want is a quiet life.
Paz, tranquilidad y vivir como Dios manda, ¿verdad?
However, their 18-year-old brother was missing for about 2 weeks and now is in a detention center. Their father remains in immigration custody, and they'll all appear before a judge to learn their fate in a few weeks. They still could be considered the lucky ones. After all, they're still alive. For Latino USA, I'm Brooke Binkowski in San Diego.